Mark chapter number 9, I think we need to be reminded of these kinds of things. Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 42. By now, I hope you found it. Mark 9, 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. There are many places that I would like to go. Number one, on the top priority of my list, I want to go one day, if the Lord will let me, I would love to go to the Holy Land. Not necessarily to go down in the Jordan and get some water and put it in a flask and come back and sell it to you all. That's not my purpose of wanting to go to the Holy Land. There are some other places I would love to go, if time permits. I would love to go one day to Alaska. I would love to go to England and walk into that church where Charles Spurgeon spoke there and just see some of those types of things. I would love to go to some of those places. There are some places that I don't want to go. I prefer never to go to jail. I would love not never have to face going to jail. I never have been. I've always been on the outside looking in. I've never been on the inside. But there's another place I wouldn't want to go, and I've been there before, and that's the hospital. How many of you have ever been in the hospital? And I can promise you, a crowd this size, there's nobody in here that would say, yeah, preacher, I don't mind going to the hospital and getting stuck with needles and all of those kinds of things. My friend, there's some places that I want to go. There's some places that I don't want to go. But my friend, under the sound of my voice, you listen to me this morning, there's one place that nobody in this whole world who wants to go to, and it's a place called hell. It's a place where we don't hear preaching about anymore. We don't hear preaching on hell like we used to. We don't hear people sweating and wiping sweat and singing those songs and people getting excited because we come in with a lackadaisical spirit and we plop down in our seat. God bless us if we can. But my friend, you listen to me here this morning. There's some famous people that have died this past week that has plastered the news. But all the multitudes and the multitudes of people that have died and never graced the front cover of a television program or the front cover of a magazine. I'm telling you, people, they died and went to hell if they did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You can get all of those other preachers up there. Jesse Jackson can get up there and say he done a lot of good work. He done this and he done that as if he led millions to Christ. But I'm telling you, by his own testimony and by our own testimony, and if by their testimony they are burning in a lake of fire right this morning, wishing to God that they would have listened to an old-fashioned preacher in their lifetime. I'm telling you, there is a place called hell. Jesus Christ has something to say about hell. And you may be headed to that place called hell. Everybody in this room needs to hear this message. Not because I'm a preacher, because I can't do it justice. And the whole world needs to hear this message called a place called hell. A place that no one wants to go. And number one, hell is an actual place. Jesus speaks about hell in the New Testament
as though he actually believes that hell is a real place. Do you honestly believe that there is a place called hell? Do you honestly believe? Do you show forth by your actions that you believe in hell? Sometimes I begin to wonder, and every time I see some of the things that I saw this week, the first thing that comes to my mind is, I wonder where they're at right now. I wonder where they're at right now. Every time I preach a funeral, every time that I go to a bedside of someone that is dying, I wonder, and I hope I can get there in time and say, hey, do you know where you're fixing to spend eternity forever and ever and ever? I wonder, it crosses my mind every time we see that, I wonder if by some miraculous happening, I wonder if they ever asked Jesus Christ into their heart. A recent poll was taken. 60% of Americans surveyed said that they believed that there was a hell. 25 didn't believe there was a hell. 9% were undecided. And the other 6% could care less. In the religious circles, hell is made light of. Another recent survey found that 35% of Baptists, 35% of Baptists used to believe in hell. Baptist folks used to believe in hell. 35% of Baptists, 54% of Presbyterians, 58% of Methodists, 60% of Episcopalians do not believe in a literal place called hell. My friend, I got a question for you. What are we preaching to our people if they walk out of the doors and do not believe in a place called hell? I'm not doing my job. These other preachers are not doing their job if they're not warning people about this place called hell. It is an actual place. Listen to this one. This one disturbed me to no end. 71% of those attending 8 leading seminaries in the United States do not believe in a heaven or a hell. What are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching our kids? Seminaries, people that are supposed to be preaching the Bible. The Bible is supposed to be preached. And 71% of the graduating students walking out of the seminaries do not believe in a heaven or a hell. There are people that believe that when you die, death just ends it all. You just go down there and you put them in the ground, and that's pretty well it. It's sort of like a dog or a cat. Once they die, they're just dead. They don't go anywhere. They're just dead. And then there's another group of people that believes in a hell, but they believe in it like this. That when you stand before God and your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, or your bad deeds outweigh your good deeds, God says, all right, you've got to go to hell. And they throw you in hell. It's like a piece of paper. It just disintegrates, and just in a few seconds, it's over with. You won't feel much, just about 2 or 3 seconds, and then it's over with. And there's some that preach and believe that. And then you've got some people that are actual preachers, teachers in Baptist colleges that do not believe in a heaven or a hell, and they preach and teach that to people. I'm telling you this, the Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God. It is a real place, Luke 12:5. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than that they can do. But if I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear, fear him which have killed, hath power to kill the body and the soul, and to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And Luke 16 says, there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, are you listening to me this morning? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, in the torments of hell, in the torments of the flames, because he did not believe Jesus Christ and did not believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Hell's residence, the residence of hell. Can I say this by way of introduction? You were not intended to go there. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. In Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Hell was not there. Hell was not mentioned. But something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. There was a man, an angel, an angelic being named Lucifer. He was second in command of heaven, and he led a revolt in heaven. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 37 will tell you all of this information. And Lucifer had pride in his heart. He wasn't happy with second fiddle. He didn't want second place. He looked and said, "I will ascend my throne above the stars of God. I will exalt. I will be God." And God says, "Oh no, you won't. Oh no, you won't. Oh no, you won't." And he kicked out Lucifer and the third of the angels out of heaven, and he made hell for them. Matthew 25 and verse 41, he made the hell for the devil and his angels. He wasn't intended for nobody to go there. God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send yourself if you want to go to hell. You'll send yourself by walking out of this place and rejecting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you this morning, there is a place called hell, just like there's a place called heaven. And we all want to go to heaven. Oh, yes, we do. We hope Mama's there. We hope Daddy's there. But there's one thing for sure, and let me tell you this. It don't matter who it is. It don't matter if it's Grandma, Grandpa, or whoever it was. My friend, if they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are headed for a place called hell. And it is not a joyful place. The residents are there. They didn't intend to go there. But my friend, by their very own testimony, they said, "We'll reject Christ and we'll take hell in its place." Who in the world in their right mind would do such a thing? It is an awful place. The Bible says here three different times, Jesus Christ is quoting Isaiah. I believe Isaiah 66, I believe is where he's quoting from. It may be in the margin of your Bible if you have a reference Bible. Three different times. God repeats himself three different times. And three different times, he quotes this phrase, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." The second time, he repeats himself. A lot of you say, "Boy, preacher, you repeat yourself." Well, Jesus Christ repeated himself. I believe it's all right to repeat yourself every now and then, especially if it's something as important as a place called hell. The second time he said, "And where their worm dieth not." Notice the word there. T-H-E-I-R. Where their worm dieth not.
and the fire is not quenched. I wonder what the worm is. My friend, this is an awful place. It's a terrible place. You don't want to go there. The residents that are there now did not want to be there. They did not realize that it was going to be this way. Maybe nobody ever knocked on their door. Maybe nobody had a burden to drive a bus up to their door and say, "Hey, would you like to go to church and hear about Jesus?" Maybe you're living by somebody and you never had the courage to go over there and knock on the door and say, "Hey, let me tell you about a place that I truly, truly, deeply believe in." My friend, by our very actions, most of us in this building, including this preacher, does not actually believe in a place called hell. By our own actions, we truly do not believe in hell. Are you listening to me this morning? By our own actions, I know it hurts, but I'm starting right here, and we're working our way back right here from the behind the pulpit all the way to the pews. By our own actions, we do not believe that there's a hell. If we truly believed that there was a hell, it wouldn't take us a month to fill this particular place. 600 and some odd seats in this building. Why? Because when we get compassion and we see people not as just people, not as a drunkard on the street, not as some dirtbag that lives across the track, not somebody that we just wouldn't have time for, and we wouldn't give them 5 minutes of our time. They're just an old bum. They never have gotten anything. They never worked hard like I did. They don't have a dime to their name, and it serves them right. They should have worked hard like I did. They should have had a mom and daddy like I did. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care what kind of life they had, they're all going to die and go to hell unless we tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what nationality they are. I don't care if they wear a rag on their head or a dot on their forehead. My friend, they're all going to die and go to hell without people like us, Bible-believing Baptists that believe in a place called hell. And it'll ponder our hearts, and we get motivated to tell people about Jesus Christ. It is an awful place because of the damnation of hell. Revelation 14 and 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, and the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and forever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. It is an awful place. It is a place that you don't want to go to. And you don't have to go there if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's an awful place because of the documentation that we have in the Bible. Unquenchable fire. That means if you had 10 tons of water, my friend, it wouldn't put out the fire. It is unquenchable. You could have a tornado that comes through hell, and it would not affect the fire one bit because it's unquenchable fire. There is a place in hell where our mind will torment you. If you do not receive Jesus Christ, you'll remember it. The rich man said, "Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus that he would come down here and dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue? For I'm tormented in this flame." And Father Abraham said this, "Rich man, remember thou in thy lifetime." Remember! Do you remember that sermon you heard? Do you remember that old-fashioned preacher that sweat and was spitting all over the place, and he was telling about hell, and you was laughing in the pew, and you wasn't paying attention in the pew? Remember that particular day when you heard that old song sung, and you just didn't fall under conviction. You laughed it away and said you couldn't wait to get to the ball game. You couldn't wait till one Monday when you went on vacation. Remember, my friend, in hell, the fire ain't the only thing that torments people. It's their memory. They'll remember every message they ever heard. They will remember everything that they heard preached. They will remember every gospel song that they heard sung that had anything to do with Jesus Christ. My friend, that's why it's important to sing songs about Him. About Him. About that place we can go to. Because, my friend, when they get in hell, their memory will torment them day and night. A place of unsatisfied thirst. A place where there is no water. A place where you couldn't buy a drink of water. Eternal separation from God. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers." The sorcerers. Sorcerers. Witchcraft. The sorcerers. And the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Eternal separation. Nobody will ever hear a kid playing anymore. Nobody will ever hear or feel the wind blow and the cool summer breeze. Nobody will ever see daylight ever again. Nobody will ever see the sunrise or the sunset. They'll never hear a child running and playing again. They'll never hear the words, "I love you," ever again. They'll never sense the presence of an Almighty God ever again. They'll never feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, do you remember that time when you got under Holy Ghost conviction? Do you remember that time? Oh, yes, it felt terrible at that particular time. But oh, when you give in to that particular the pull and the tug of the Holy Spirit of God, it'll be the best day of your life. But in hell, they'll never feel that ever again. Our eternal separation from God. A place of undiluted wrath. Can I tell you this right here? Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. On the cross of Calvary. Are you hearing me this morning? On the cross of Calvary. The wrath of God. The wrath of God boiled up on the inside of Him against sin. And on the inside of God Almighty, He bubbled up inside. And the whole wrath, everything about God was poured out upon His own Son. And they beat Him and they crucified Him on the cross of Calvary. They placed His body in the Joseph's tomb. And His Spirit went to be with the Father. But Acts chapter number 2 tells us, and Ephesians chapter number 1 tells us, that His soul went to the underworld. It went to the place. He said 3 days and 3 nights was Jonah in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of this earth. The underworld, Jesus Christ went to hell and He experienced hell for each and every one in this building, including me and including you. My friend, He experienced it all. The whole wrath of God upon the cross of Calvary. Now you can accept that. As full payment for your sin. As full payment for your sin. And you can bypass the wrath of God. Because you've accepted what's already been done to Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend. If you turn your back on Jesus Christ and say, "I'll do it my way. I'll do it when I want to. No preacher's going to tell me what to do. No preacher's going to try to scare me out of doing something. Ain't nobody going to twist my arm. I'm grown. I'm 18. I'm grown. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do." My friend, when you die, the same vengeance wrath of God that was poured out on Jesus Christ will be poured out on you in hell. You got to pay for sin. Somebody's got to pay for it. Sin has to be dealt with. And Jesus Christ dealt with it. But if you don't want to go that route, God is a loving God. He says if you don't want to go that route, that's fine. But you're going to have to pay for your own sin. Now listen, I don't know anybody that if you had a $400,000 house, if you had a $400,000 house and they were knocking on your door, need payments. Can't make your payments? All right, you got 30 days. You've got to get out. You're going to have to get out. I don't know anybody in their right mind. If a millionaire walked up and said, hey, tell you what, let me pay the whole house in full. Hey, let me pay the whole thing. I know they're after you. I know they're fixing to kick you out. But I tell you what, let me write the check and I'll just pay for the whole thing. And you say, well, that's all well and good, but where am I going to live? Oh, you get to stay in the house. Hey, I'm not only going to pay for sin, I'm going to let you live that. Who in their right mind would not accept a deal like that? Jesus Christ paid the whole thing on the cross of Calvary. And the devil is knocking on your door. You're fixing to be evicted, buddy. You're fixing to be evicted. You can't make the payments. I don't care how much you go to church. We're going to start Sunday night service next week. It don't matter if you come or not. You're going to be evicted. Jesus Christ comes by this morning. He comes by this morning and says, hey, I'll write the check. I've already got the money in the bank. I deposited the money on the cross of Calvary. The money is in the bank. All you got to let me do is sign this check and I'll pay it. Say, oh God, boy, that would be so wonderful. But God, what am I going to do for a place to live? He says, I've already got that taken care of. I'm going to pay it. I need to stay there forever and forever and forever. What kind of deal? Listen, who in their right mind would reject such an offer? Jesus Christ did that for you on the cross of Calvary. Let me finish by saying this. Mark, get ready to come to the piano. Watch this. Remember, I got to go back to the text. Watch. Three times. This is what God said. Where there were. There were. Now, I wasn't too good in English. I'll be honest. Y'all have heard me preach long enough to know that I ain't too good at English. Really didn't care much about it in high school. And kids, let me say this. You ought to listen in school. Get all the education you can. You ought to. And I'm going to tell you this the best way I know how. T-H-E-I-R is people. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. If you're saved in this building, when the rapture takes place, you're going to take on a new image. And that image is going to be in the perfect image of Jesus Christ. We're going to get a body just like His. Just like His perfect body. But if you're lost and you die, say, preacher, are you trying to scare me? I'm trying to tell you the truth. I promise you I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare your kids. Listen, all the junk they watch on television, I ain't a-phasing them. Don't worry about that. You let them watch enough trash on television that scares them half-witty where they don't even believe. They brush me off. They don't believe nothing. I'm a television. But you better listen to this one thing. That Bible is true. You don't have to listen to me. You ain't got to listen to me. But that book is true. And if you're lost and you die and go to hell, you will take on the image of that old serpent. That old dragon. The serpent, the dragon. I don't know. Y'all help me. I think those are sort of reptile-looking things. If you die, just like a saved person takes on the image of their father, a lost person will take on the image of their father. The devil.
That's why Jesus said three times, watch, I'm through. I did the best I could. Three times He said, where is their worm, die thought. And the fire is not quenched. Now here's the invitation. Y'all ready? Here's the invitation. I don't know in the building. I have no idea. By looking around, most of you, I'm assuming, by your testimony, you're saved. By your testimony, by just what you've told me in the past, or just in passing, I just assume that you're saved. But guess what? That don't mean much. What I know. What means a whole lot is what God knows. Does He know you're saved? Number two, if you are saved, I've tried my best to get across this message to where we will have a more compassionate heart to tell people and to keep them from going to this awful, awful, dreadful place. There ought to be some people that will come down here and find a place right down the aisle somewhere and say, God, I need compassion. I need to know that I have the boldness to tell people and to tell them that they don't have to go to this awful place. Now, Heavenly Father, we need your help today. We need your help in this invitation right now. More than ever before, this invitation is so important. God, we sure need you. God, would you please fall upon this place. God, would you please convict hearts right now in this invitation, in the stillness of the moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand all over the building? Stand. Would you come? Brother Mark's going to play. Who will come and say, preacher, I'll stand with you and say, hey, we need compassion. Holy Hills Baptist Church, we need compassion. There's people dying and falling off into hell like Niagara Falls. They're rolling over while we've been in this building over Niagara Falls, falling into a place called hell. Be saved. Who'll be next? Who'll be next? Oh God. God, would you give us compassion? God, help us to see people dying and going to hell like never before. God, break our hearts. God, would you save that one right now? Would you save them? God, please, would you save them? Save them today. Young people, are you saved? Do you know for sure? When you walk out of this place, I want you to know one thing. I sure don't want to see none of you die and go to hell. Not a one of you to die and go to hell. Would you slip out saying, preacher, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know I'm saved. Preacher, I don't want to go. I don't want to die and go to hell. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Listen, in the stillness of the moment, make sure you're saved. Please make sure you're saved. Give us compassion. You still can come. If you'll come, I'll show you how you can be saved. And
Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.